and I think it's important for us. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Thank you to those of you that were able to help and support for Brother Carter's funeral. If you find the time to send Sister Carter a card or something, I think it will help her and mean the world to her. Exodus 17 and 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I want to preach to you for a few minutes on the topic. It's a blessing to have three hands. And they're going to come and pray for us right now.
Lord, we're thankful that you are going to use Pastor tonight to preach the word and what we've already felt in this place. But Lord, we pray, God, that you would just move in this house, Lord, and use this word, Lord, to impart it to us, God. Lord, where we can apply it to our lives, Jesus, and make ourselves better for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Let me work from the back and from the end and move back to the beginning. This was such an important event that the Lord told Moses to write it for a memorial in the book. And he was to rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I think it begs the question that do we put enough thought sometimes or enough emphasis on the scripture that the Lord has left us, and certainly every scripture has its place, and sometimes that place is predicated upon the timing, meaning there may be a scripture that does not directly minister to you today, but, you know, 3 weeks from now it may directly minister to you. But oftentimes, especially with passages that we are familiar with, some that maybe you learned about in Sunday school or you grew up reading Bible stories about, sometimes I worry that we overlook some things and we don't understand the importance of them. And in this text, Moses told Joshua, write this down for a memorial. Write what down for a memorial? What exactly did God want him to write down? What was the emphasis that he was trying to get across to Moses that was so important, this account, if needed to be shared, not just for Joshua, but for generations, because today we are still sharing the account of Moses, Aaron, and Hur. So let's recap. First of all, it's important that we recognize something here. The Bible says that Moses said he would go up to the top of the mount with the rod of God in his hand. The same rod that he parted the Red Sea with. But I want you to notice something. The rod of God was not enough for victory over Amalek. Because sometimes what you have or what God has given you is not going to be enough to sustain you. And that, in my opinion, is very calculated. Meaning, there are times that God will make the opposition or the trial or whatever you please so large in your life that you cannot fight your way out of it by yourself. Now, that's not a revelation to you, but let it be a reminder. Let it be a reminder that sometimes we think, well, I've got me and Jesus and my Bible, and that's all I need. That is not all you need, and that is not biblical at all. There is no Bible for just you and your Bible and Jesus whatsoever. That's where your relationship begins, but that's not how your journey ends. Your journey is going to be riddled with things that are so great for you. You don't know where to go, where to turn, how to turn, or anything related to that. I have spent times in my life where I've told God, I said, God, I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to go up. I don't know what to preach to these people. I don't know how to get the church through this mess. I just do not know. And that's okay, because God doesn't want us putting so much emphasis on our own ability. So Moses went up with the rod of God, not thinking much about it. It's also important to understand that he did not call and ask for help. Let me say it again. Everybody is not going to ask for help. But it took two men that recognized there was a need. Now, it's no secret to you that the victory was tied into the unity of those three men. The victory was solely predicated upon two men stepping up without being asked, without God telling them to do it. If you think God's going to tell you everything to do, you got another thought coming. Sometimes God's going to, I tell you, I pray a lot, and I'll pray about things in the church, and as sure as I'm standing here in front of you, the Lord will say to me, it's your decision. And I say, thanks, God. That's not very helpful whatsoever. I know I can make the decision, but I'm not positive about the decision. And so I was hoping you'd give me a little insight, because then I'd feel much more secure. Sometimes God leaves it in our hands. And it's very important. Listen to me. I want to get this point across to you tonight, because it's what I felt several times trying to get away from this text. And that is, we must be aware of our surroundings. Let me say that one more time. You must be aware of your surroundings. What does that mean? Well, first of all, in my opinion, every Wednesday and every Sunday, you ought to look to your left and look to your right and see who's there and who isn't. Because there are times that God would have you go to somebody when their hands are weary and hold them up. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to get through this generation without having a meltdown and having an aneurysm over everybody that wants to text everything. I mean, they want to text apologies. They want to text marriage proposals. They want to text their boss and tell them they're quitting. They want to text their girlfriend when she's in the next room and ask her if she wants to go on a date. What I'm saying to you is, some things we got to get off the comforts of texting. Sometimes somebody's hand is too weary and they need somebody that will take the initiative, that will recognize that they're weary, and they need somebody that will come to them and will put a rock under them and hold their hands up. Now, I don't know what y'all are accustomed to, but when I, growing up, we didn't grow up in the church, but my mom took us to church when we were younger. I don't know why my voice is giving out. Well, thank you. When I prayed for the Holy Ghost, Brother Jerome, there were always people around me holding my hands up. Always. It was just a thing in the church that you would stand beside. Why? Because after a while, your hands get weary. And I know this generation doesn't think there's nothing to lifting your hands, but I'm telling you, most of your victories are tied into your hands being raised. I'm telling you, there are some things you're never going to experience unless your hands are up. And we've gotten away from some of those things. And we've gotten away from holding people's hands up when they're praying. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we're going to have to get back to some of the basics. And we're going to have to start holding hands up again. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We're going to have to start taking the initiative to go to somebody when they're praying, when their hands are heavy, and when they're weary. And we're going to have to grab that hand and hold it up, and not for 2 minutes. The Bible was very clear that whenever Moses' hands went down, the battle was being lost. Think about this. The next time you see somebody with their hands raised, just think of this. If those hands go down, they might lose their battle. That's why God told Moses to write this for a memorial in the book. Because he was trying to teach us there is nothing more powerful than somebody that will stand beside you during the most weary moments of your life. You know, sometimes people just can't put their hands up. Sometimes they are so defeated and they are so downtrodden and they are so ready to just give up because they're so tired that they cannot put their hands up. And the church is going to have to become cognitive if we're going to have the victories that Brother Brandon talked about. And I agree with them. It's going to happen when we do it together. It's not going to happen because somebody comes up and they're seeking God all by themselves. Listen, I want you to hear this because I'm going to say it. When you see someone walk up to this altar, we ought to be flooding them. We ought to be, well, I'm just not sure, Pastor, if they'll become. If they're not comfortable, they'll let you know. Other than that, just get over that and go for it. The rod of God was not enough for Moses. It took two people that were willing to intervene when they realized this man can't do it by himself. And this man is getting too tired. They didn't even ask him, do you want some help? They just went up and jumped right in there. I'm telling you, the church has got to be mindful of those around us. It's the body that's going to get the body into heaven. That's how we're going to make it. We're going to make it relying upon each other. And that's the only way it's going to happen. We need each other. And God will give us the strength through somebody else's sacrifice. You know, you can only go so long. I told you the story. I mentioned it Sunday at the Ashtabula Church. That one time I had met with a guy and went into the restaurant. And he says, well, I was just witnessing to the waitress. I said, oh, good. Well, I knew he didn't have a home church because he was hopping around looking for somebody that would sell their pulpit to him. Well, that's the truth. And I said, great. I said, where'd you send her to church? Well, I just told her to find a good Bible, believe in church. I said, very intelligent. Tell a baby in the Lord exactly to go find the truth by themselves. That's good. We have to be the light for people. We have to lead them where they're to go. And that takes people that will get out of our own little lifestyles. I believe that God blesses people. And we are examples of that. My family has more now making what I made. When I made more money in full-time in the secular world, when I left unemployment, full-time employment in 2003, we have more now than what I had then, and I made way more money then because God blesses it. But I will tell you this, there's never a point in our lives where God wants these blessings to get in the way of the kingdom, to get in the way of the ministry of the gospel, to get in the way of reaching the lost. God always wants the kingdom to be first. And we've got to strive to be kingdom-minded. We've got to strive to love the lost. And we got to love each other. And we got to hold each other's hands up. And we got to know where each other's at today and tomorrow and next week because somebody might need you to step in. I think God wanted me to preach this to you tonight rather than on Sunday because God needs the core. He needs the core. You know, I was last week or earlier this week, I was praying for a couple. And this couple, I'm going to keep it vague. They had gone through really some tough times over the last several years beyond just personal, but even health and things like that. And the Lord reminded me, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, where two or more are gathered, he reminded me because they stayed together when they weren't going to. That God's favor that was with them and they were going to see their way through the trial because they were together, which would not have happened if they were not together. We don't understand sometimes the power of keeping our word or the power of two or three. We don't, and that's partially because the spirit of this world has grilled into people that you don't need a church and you don't need a pastor. And I've had people stand in this church tell me, and they're divorced now and backslidden in the world, no surprise there. Tell me, I don't need no man, it's just me and Jesus. There ain't no Bible for that whatsoever. You want me to prove it to you? You prove me wrong. I'll give you 1,000 scriptures to prove it right. God wants us to operate under a system of togetherness. Israel did not come out of Egypt one person at a time, sneaking away, making their way into Canaan. No, they came out as one big giant body. And they went into Canaan as one big giant body together. And they had one man that led them there. They didn't like him too much, and he wasn't the greatest preacher, but he had the mind of God. And as long as they would trust that, God would get them where they're going. Where are you going? You might not know. God knows. But wherever you're going in your walk with God, he's trying to get you there. But you're going to have to understand, you need people, and you need the body, and you need a pastor, and you need somebody to step into your life sometimes and hold your hand up high. So you always have people in your congregation that have pain. Not always new people. Sometimes it's, you know, it's seasoned saints. Pain is very peculiar because pain can be covered up. Pain can be hidden. It can be masked. And sometimes when people have pain, whether it's self-inflicted or whether or not, it doesn't really matter. God is not about delivering people who didn't cause their own pain. He knows sometimes we cause our own pain. And so those people, oftentimes, they'll sit in the congregation and they'll stand there with their hands folded because they're under conviction. That is when somebody needs to move towards them. We've got to get this church to the point we start moving towards people. We got to get out of our chairs at altar time. We got to get everybody involved. Don't think that you don't have a part in that, because you do. And I'm just telling you, as a man that prayed 9 months for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was not a service that I prayed where people were not standing left and right of me holding my hands up. Because I stand at that altar for a half hour, 40 minutes with my hands up. And by the time I was done, I can remember my hands being jello. But they held them up until the day God did it, when I got past some of my own doubt and some of my own fears, and God filled me. But I'll never forget that, how important it is to have somebody. So when people have pain, when they're weary, when they're broken, sometimes they need someone else to step into their life. Their pain won't allow them to raise their hands. Do you know how the Lord dealt with me about this? Through my rotator cuff injuries. We're always asking God to fix things. And I got news for you. Sometimes God ain't going to fix it because he's trying to teach you a lesson through it. I mean, if God fixed everything in your body, you'd always feel like you were immortal, and you'd never understand that your days are numbered, as all of ours are. For me, the older I get and the more I hurt, the more I realize I'm heading one direction. And so one day I was raising my hands and my shoulders hurt. And the pain was just really sharp. And the Lord reminded me at that time about Moses and how his shoulders must have felt. And how if he lowered his hands, even because of pain, they would lose the battle. And it wasn't one person that lost the battle. Everybody did. God put everybody's victory on one man's raised hands. And then because of that, thank God that somebody was able to realize. You realize every time his hands go down, it seems like we start getting our behinds whipped. Yeah, I kind of noticed that too. Why don't we go up there and give him a hand? I feel very strongly that as we get closer to the Lord closing the page book on time, the church has to pull closer together. I feel very, very strongly about this. You can't allow yourself to be pulled away from the body. You cannot, under no circumstances. And I think this is a part of that. There are two other texts that I'll just briefly explain to you in the scripture that help us see the importance of this issue. One I've spoken a lot about over the years. It's when Nehemiah went to rebuild the wall. Bible says that they all conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. They didn't want to defeat Nehemiah. They didn't care about one man. Listen, the kingdom is bigger than one person. I hope the Lord gives me many more years, but if I kill over, he'll replace me. He won't have a problem with it. And if you kill over, he's not going to have a problem replacing you either. The kingdom is bigger than one person. We have to understand that. And so when they came to fight against Nehemiah, the Bible says they came against Jerusalem to hinder it. They wanted to hinder the rebuilding of the walls. They wanted to stop the work that Nehemiah was doing. It was an opposition to the kingdom of God. When somebody is becoming weary in their journey, the enemy is not after them. He's after what they represent in the kingdom. There is no person. They're after what they represent in the kingdom. So whatever you represent, wherever you contribute to the kingdom of God, if you take that out, it's like taking a bolt out of a piece of steel, and now you've loosened the entire structure. We've all been privy to watching how sometimes your world gets rocked when people are all of a sudden pulled out of the church for whatever reason. It can rattle you. It can rattle your faith. It can rattle your confidence in people. That is exactly what is intended to do. So my point is this. It's not a small thing when somebody falls away from God. It's not a small thing when somebody throws in the towel. It don't matter if they're on the platform or they're just sitting there in the pew every week. Swiss cheese wouldn't be Swiss cheese if it only had one hole or no holes. I know they make Swiss cheese out of holes. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. Because to me, it just takes away the whole meaning of Swiss cheese. I won't eat Swiss cheese without holes. I won't. I want the holes in it. You start putting holes in the church, and it changes the dynamic of the church. The only way we fix that is when we understand that every person has a great, great value in the kingdom of God. I could go down the list today just for the faces that I see right now, and I could talk about where you contribute. I could talk about how our family feels encouraged when we see you, how it matters to us and how it hurts if you're not here. When you're going through something, it hurts. It hurts to see people struggle. It hurts to see people being attacked by the adversary. And if it doesn't hurt, you're not attached to the body. You are not attached. You might show up, but you're not attached. It should hurt. It should grieve you when you see something going on. It's natural because we are spiritually intertwined. We are spiritually connected. It's bigger than somebody saying, well, I like your church. I think I'm going to come. It's bigger than that. God has already made a spiritual connection. That's why we can't shop for churches like cars. We got to shop for the mind of God and say, where do you want to plant me? What do you want to do in my life? Because when you get planted during the rough seasons that you're not all thrilled about it, you're there still because you're planted. That's the whole importance of roots. So, as the Lord comes closer to preparing to claim his bride, I really feel very strong the church has got to pull closer together. I couldn't even, if you were to ask me what's the single most important thing to the church in 2021, 2022, soon, I would tell you the church must be closer. Because there's always strength in number. There's always strength in number. Aside from Nehemiah, the second one was Samson. Samson is a good example of the modern day church. Samson sinned. He disobeyed God. Disobedience is sin, in case you hadn't figured that out yet. Disobedience to the word, whether it's spoken directly to you or whether you just see it in the scripture. And because he disobeyed God, you know what happened? Watch the metaphors here. He lost his vision. The scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. His literal eyes were taken, but his spiritual vision was also taken. And because his spiritual vision was taken, he had resorted himself to putting his shoulder to that wheel and just, with no eyesight, just chained to it, walking in a circle as a slave, as a servant of the world. Somewhere, Brother Anthony, somewhere, he realized, I'm missing something. And in that cell, he began to call upon God when they brought him out to make a mockery. The devil loves nothing more than to laugh at people that have fallen. So he goes out there and he wasn't the same Samson. Because when you fall away from God, if you make your way back, you'll never be the same. And I mean that in a good way. You have more respect for your relationship. You'll have more humility than you've ever had because you realize how vulnerable you are. And you understand what it feels like to be away from God. And Samson, not only did his hair grow back, but he didn't just rely upon his strength this time. But he understood sometimes even the big guys need a little helping hand. And I don't know if the young lad was talking to him. I don't know if he just could hear him breathing. I don't know. But I know this. He said, son, I could use your help. We should make sure our kids know their prayers for other people are just as important as yours and I's. We should make sure they understand that God can work through them in a powerful way, just like everybody else. If you do anything, you should be teaching your kids when you come to the altar, go up there, pray for somebody. You don't think you have it, but you got it. Because when somebody's broken, there's something about the gentle touch of an innocent child when they put their hands on your back. Big, strong, I've killed thousands of Philistines, Samson. Needed help from a little boy. And he would not have been able to do what he did if he didn't get that help. Everybody needs a helping hand at some point. There's nothing greater than having a third hand. Nothing more important to your walk with God. So where I'm going to close this is I'm going to ask you, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to plead with you. At the end of every service, start looking around. And when you feel that little nudge, don't be embarrassed. Don't think, well, I don't know if they want me praying with them. If you felt that nudge, whether they do or they don't, God wants you to. Now, I'm not telling you to slap your hand on their forehead and break their neck. But I am saying go up there and let them feel the gentle touch of a caring brother or sister in the Lord. Because that helping hand may be the thing that gets them through their battle. And I'm done. You may never know how your battle is predicated upon their victory. You reap what you sow. If I sow into somebody else's field when their field is dry and there's no rain, well, I feel the Holy Ghost. God will sow into my field when it's dry and there is no rain. And you're not always going to feel like you're on some spiritual cloud nine. Some days you're going to feel like you're 20 feet under. Would you stand with me? I think here's how I want to close this thing out. I'm going to ask you in just a moment for all of us to close our eyes. Just a moment. Kids, I want you to pay attention because I want you to be a part of this too. And whoever the Lord lays on your heart, I want you to go to them. Don't talk to them. Just go to them. Put your hand on their shoulder, on their back. If it's not inappropriate, in some cases it could be, grab them by the hand. Don't say a word and just start praying. Because you don't know. What I've learned about pain is, as I've already said, it's easy to cover up. It's easy to cover up. We don't want to admit it, and not many preachers will preach it. But pain, men cover pain up with muscles and beards. It's a fact. Women cover pain up with jewelry and makeup. Some cover it up with degrees. I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just saying. And if you'd be honest with yourself enough to know, sometimes no matter how you look in a mirror and what you do, you're still not happy. That's because what's deep. But we come into the church and you never know what's going on in someone's life this very moment. You never know. Never. You never know what just happened in their home, in their family, in their life. You never know if they're just feeling like their spiritual guts are just being pulled from them. And they're just fighting to keep their head above water and just to breathe. So would you close your eyes? And when you do, as I begin to pray, the first person the Lord lays on your heart, would you go to them? And if they're not here, would you begin to pray for them in the Spirit? Jesus, you're the only one, God, that knows what's going on in our lives. And your word is always timed perfectly, God. And there are people here tonight need their hand held up. God, they're weary. They're weak. And you know, Lord Jesus, who they are. And you know, God, that you already placed them on somebody's heart. Why don't you step out right now if you've already thought of somebody? Do not hesitate. Do not think it through. Do not overthink it. Learn to trust the voice of God. Learn to trust what you feel. And go to them as they sing. And just pray with them. Just join with them right now. Whatever it is, whoever it is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah.
There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body.
Come on, pray with him. Hold the hands up if you need to. It's all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh,
sight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how it rains.
You remember this one thing, and I'm putting this microphone down. You pray as long as you want. Just because the music stops doesn't mean the battle's been won yet. That's all I'm going to say. Remember that every time you come to the altar. Praise God.
My victory's in Jesus' name. My victory's in Jesus' name.
Tonight, Jesus. God, I ask that you would just be with us tonight as we continue in prayer, Lord. And God, that you would just touch each and every one of us tonight, Lord, that God, we would just be in unity, Lord, that we would be one body in this church family, Lord, that are looking out for one another, that are praying for one another, Lord Jesus. God, that you would just burden our hearts, Lord, for each and every one of us that's in this building, Lord Jesus. We just want to give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.